World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. Portugal got through yesterday, but that is not the sentence that matters now. The sentence that matters now is that Portugal and Spain are staring at each other, and suddenly this World Cup has one of those matchups that feels bigger than the bracket line itself. Because yes, Portugal advanced. But today the story is not really survival. Today the story is whether Cristiano Ronaldo can carry all of that pressure, all of that expectation, and all of that noise into a match that will feel like history before it even kicks off. For me, that is the real shift in the tournament this morning. Yesterday the question was whether major teams could survive pressure. Today the question is whether they can turn survival into authority. And nobody embodies that question more clearly than Portugal right now. Ronaldo is the obvious human face of it, and I do not think that is lazy storytelling. I think it is accurate storytelling. When coverage across the last day keeps circling back to him, it is not only because of the goals or the threat or the name. It is because he still changes the emotional temperature of a match. He represents ambition, anxiety, legacy, and impatience all at once. Against Spain, that matters. And this is where the Portugal story becomes more interesting than a simple star headline. Spain are the team that usually want to lower the emotional temperature. They want control, rhythm, possession, fewer loose moments, fewer emotional openings. Portugal, especially around Ronaldo, often pull games toward feeling, toward momentum swings, toward the sense that one action can suddenly change the whole night. That is why this semifinal feels so rich as a football story. Honestly, that is where this gets interesting. This is not just Ronaldo against Spain. It is volatility against control. That is why this story is bigger than it looks. The continuity point matters here, too. Yesterday on this podcast, the Portugal angle was that they advanced without fully calming the night. If I just repeated that today, that would be lazy. What changed today is the consequence. Now the uneasy win has turned into a defined test. Now the question is whether Portugal can bring emotional force without losing shape against the opponent most likely to punish emotional waste. That is the real update. And if Portugal are the loudest personality story of the day, the United States are probably the most revealing North American story of the day. The American mood has changed fast. 2 days ago, the feeling was breakthrough, relief, maybe even release. The U.S. finally had the knockout win that home fans wanted. But now that emotional moment is over, and the harder question has arrived. How does Mauricio Pochettino handle Belgium without Folarin Balogun? That is not a small tactical footnote. That is the hinge point of the American story now. Because Balogun was not just a scorer in that last result. He was part of the emotional picture of the team, part of the pace of the attack, part of the idea that this group had finally found a frontline identity for a pressure game. Without him, the U.S. are not simply missing a striker. They are being asked to prove that the breakthrough was structural, not emotional. That matters more than the scoreline. And for a North American World Cup, that question carries extra weight. A host region audience does not just want a nice memory. It wants signs that the team belongs in this stage of the tournament. So for me, the U.S. story today is not really about replaying the last win. It is about whether the team can present itself as a serious knockout side when one of the key figures is suddenly gone. Pochettino is carrying pressure here, but so are the players who now have to turn that missing piece into a different kind of performance. That is where the tension actually is. Belgium matter here too, but mostly as a stress test. They do not even need to be the emotional center of the segment. Their role in the story is to ask a difficult football question of the United States. Can you still look coherent when the ideal version of your frontline is no longer available? I think that is what people are underestimating. Then there is England, who stay in the conversation not because I want to repeat England every day, but because the frame has changed again. On July 2nd, the England story was that Harry Kane rescued a team that still looked uneasy. Yesterday, the England story was that the atmosphere around them, especially in a Mexico setting, was part of the contest itself. Today, the question is even sharper. Can England stop looking like a talented team reacting to events and start looking like a team that defines them? That is why I still find Jude Bellingham so important in this story. Kane may finish the move, but Bellingham often tells you what emotional state England are living in. Is he carrying the game with authority, or is he carrying frustration? Is he setting the rhythm, or is he absorbing the chaos? For me, he remains the human barometer of England's tournament. That is the real warning sign. I do not want to overstate an off-pitch thread just because it sounds atmospheric, but I also do not want to lose sight of the fact that this World Cup still feels deeply North American in the practical sense. Weather adjustments, supporter event changes, venue management, match day logistics, these are still part of the lived experience around the tournament. A relocated watch event in San Jose is obviously not the biggest football story of the day. But it is a reminder that in this World Cup, environment is still part of the product and part of the fan memory. So even when the lead stories are Ronaldo, the US, and England, there is still a second layer to all of this. The tournament is being played not only by stars and systems, but by cities, climates, travel plans, and crowds learning how to inhabit a World Cup across this region. That matters more than it seems. So what matters next? For Portugal and Spain, it is whether this becomes a football match or a legacy match. For the United States, it is whether the team can look tactically adult without Balogun. For England, it is whether emotional control can finally become visible instead of merely hoped for. This is why I think today's World Cup conversation feels cleaner than yesterday's. Yesterday was about surviving the noise. Today is about who can shape the noise into something usable. And when a tournament reaches that point, the pressure stops being abstract. It lands on faces. Ronaldo. Pochettino. Bellingham. That is when the World Cup becomes human, and that is usually when it becomes unforgettable. See you tomorrow.